The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Well, on Jesus' last Passover, he spoke these words that we find in John 13:35. By all this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He also spoke these words a little earlier than his last Passover. He said in Luke 18:8, in the second part of the verse, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" How can others recognize that we have love among us and not lack of faith? Well, to get into it, the first item is we need to allow Christ to live in us. It says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So one of the duties of a Christian is to allow Christ to live in him. In John 13:35, where he said, "By this will all men know me," he said prior to that in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So Christ was telling us, his disciples, and his disciples at that point in time, to do what I have done, and do it to each other. So, when we have Christ live in us, we're again having ourselves love one another, and we're having Christ love us as well. What God spoke at that point in time is very poignant. Again, continuing with this particular item, allowing Christ to live in us, one of the first things a Christian needs to look at is what we find in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now notice that's the starting point on the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, we're to look to God. We're not supposed to be proud. We're supposed to look to God to feed us. Poor in spirit. He gives us a great starting point right there. Then notice verse 23 and 24. He says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." These are very important words because, again, Christ said, how will people recognize you? And he says, because there will be love for one another. Notice verses 43 to 46 in Matthew 5. "You have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do this? Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." So you see, we need to have Christ live in us and practice these words. Point number two. And how can people recognize us? And that's, don't be Pharisaical nor liberal. In Matthew 23, Christ said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. One of the characteristics of the Pharisees, besides being hypocrites, is they had these do's and don'ts on added to God's laws. If you did this, you could be good, or if you did that, you could be bad, depending on how the law went. The extra rules that they added. But what did God say? Well, turn to Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, Moses wrote, which God told him, "And you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." God gave us his instructions and where to apply that in our lives, and where to apply it the best that we can to our lives, not make judgments on other people. Now, there's also the other side of the coin, where you judging people and how they're doing things, and that's taking the liberal side. And that can be described how Paul puts it in Romans 6:1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And of course, Paul answers, "Of course not." So, we're not to be Pharisaical nor liberal. Maybe that's a bad word. Lawless might be a better one. But sometimes we think liberality allows us to be lawless. Another point, point number three, and that is to practice what we find in 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, this is known as the love chapter. And I'm going to start at the point where it says these are the characteristics of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind." Suffers long. The Greek word there I found rather interesting. The Greek word was from the Strong's Greek 31:14. But it's a verb, and it means to be of a long spirit and not lose heart. It means to persevere patiently, and this is what caught my attention, and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. To be patient in bearing offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in avenging. To be long-suffering and slow to punish. Now, these are characteristics of God, because if he wasn't this way, we would have long suffered if God wasn't long suffering toward us. In fact, some of the other places where this word is used, it's also used in Hebrews 6:15, and it says, "And so after he had patiently endured long suffering, he obtained the promise." In James 5:7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So you see, we need to be long-suffering, even in times of trial when things don't go our way. Again, to be patient, and to bravely endure misfortunes. Now, the other part of the verse in 13:4, it says, "and is kind." The Greek word specifically used there is a verb, and it's Greek 55:41. And again, I'm not going to try to pronounce it because it looks like my tongue couldn't wrap around it. But it says that their definition is, says, "to show oneself mild, to be kind and use kindness." That Greek word is only used in that one particular verse in 1 Corinthians 13:4. But it seems that the root, which is an adjective, Greek 55:43, is used in several places. And in this particular case, the Greek 55:43, it continues, it gives a little further explanation. It says fit for use, useful, virtuous, good, manageable, mild and pleasant, as opposed to harsh, hard, sharp, bitter. Another point is of things pleasant, of people kind and benevolent. So, again, love suffers long and is kind. Are we that way? In Matthew 11:30, as a place where it's also used, Christ says, Matthew 11:30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Luke 6:35, it says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." Again, remembering, we're supposed to have Christ live in us, and this is the way Christ was, and this is the way Christ is to us at this point in time. Romans 2:4. "Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness, kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Again, how would you like God not to be kind to you? I'm going to read the rest of 1 Corinthians 13. You should do a little Bible study and look into this. 1 Corinthians 13:4 again. "Love suffers long and is kind and does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does no evil." What is evil? "Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And then he winds up saying, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." So, point three was practice 1 Corinthians 13. And again, having Christ live in us. Rehearsal of the first part. Point four, live by the whole Word of God. That's really the point of this whole thing. Because if we don't, we really can't have love for each other or our fellow mankind. In Acts 20:27, it says this. Paul writes, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." He didn't just give part of the Bible. He just didn't give the stuff that he wrote, nor just some of the scriptures that he found favorite. He talked about the whole counsel of God. And if you remember, Jesus fulfilled all the law. And that's our duty too, to have Christ live in us. Now, if we don't put this in practice in our lives, I want to remind each of us what God says. For God says, if he finds a lack of faith in us or spot that needs cleaning, and it's because of our obstinacy and we don't want to turn our lives over to him, I want to refer you to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Let's go to see what Jesus says about the church of Laodicea. "To the angel of the church of Laodicea," verse 14, write, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of your mouth. These are descriptions that we don't want God to do with us. Because you say I'm rich, I don't have to change. Everything is fine. I understand God's word. Have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What do you mean, love my brother? I'm okay just the way I am. I can do it my way. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, with white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear. I'd also like to give another warning God gives us. This one was specifically to Israel, when Israel was a specific nation, or when it was a physical nation. And he gives us this warning, and he puts it in more physical terms than in the spiritual terms. Even though our salvation is on the line, we can somehow, because it's far off in the future, we may not think about it properly, so we forget our duties as a Christian and not having Christ live in us. But he told the Israelites what they would suffer if they didn't obey his word. And maybe this is as good a warning for us as well. Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, for the abundance of all these things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, and nakedness, in need of all things. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck, until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed, and they will not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. And God continues in verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, that you may fear the goodness and awesome name of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. Moreover, he'll bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid, and shall cling to you. And every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. So not only do you lose your physical life, but you lose your spiritual salvation. We desperately don't want either of these two things to happen to us. We know some of these things are going to happen to our nation or our nations because of the way we live and the way we're forsaking God. And we should be asking God to forgive us of our sins and asking God to forgive people of the sins that are being committed and be humble before God. Turn to Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3. It says, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" The last word here, agreed, sometimes we in the church can take that way too far. Does that mean nobody can have an opinion but the people in charge? Does that mean unless we see eye to eye on everything, we can't be agreed? Well, the Hebrew word here from the Strong's is Hebrew 32:59. And this word is yahad, but it means to fix, appoint, assemble, meet, set, betroth. It's a verb, so it has many different tenses, much like you are, I am, he is, I was. Verbs have tenses. So depending on how it is, it takes the appropriate tense. It doesn't mean to be agreed on every single point. It means to assemble or to meet, set an appointment. So two people can't get together and walk together unless they do meet or make an appointment with each other. Just think if God took this particular approach. He couldn't walk with us unless we agreed totally on everything right from the beginning. God patiently works with us. He's long-suffering. Christ asked us to love one another as he loved us, because that's how people would know that we're his children.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.